Commissioner Rob Manfred, thank you for being here. There has been a COVID-19 outbreak among the Miami Marlins. It is a crisis, obviously unwelcome, not totally unanticipated in today's world. Now, we know that two baseball games have been postponed this evening in Philadelphia, in Miami. What can you tell us about the Major League Baseball schedule going forward beyond tonight?
Well, our first concern, obviously, is the health of the players and their families, and making sure that we do everything possible to minimize the spread of the virus among our employees. We've been fortunate so far. We've done tens of thousands of tests. Our positive rate has been 0.4%, so we feel like the protocols have worked pretty well.
That's MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred weighing in on the coronavirus outbreak in the Marlins clubhouse. As of now, the season is moving forward, with tonight's Dodgers-Astros game the league's marquee matchup. But the nature of how the virus spread and whether the league could have done more to stop it has led many to ask if any American sport can survive without a bubble. Today, ESPN baseball reporter Alden Gonzalez brings us the latest on the Marlins, then takes us to Houston for a rematch of a World Series that's since come into question. I'm Ina Kimes. It's Tuesday, June 28th. This is ESPN Daily. Alden, how you doing?
Mina, I don't know what I am right now.
You and a lot of folks in and around Major League Baseball, because, well, while last week the league got off to a mostly successful start, minus the Juan Soto test, the last 48 hours have been difficult. Things have been chaotic, and you and I are talking right now on Monday afternoon, and we know that 11 Miami Marlins players and two coaches have tested positive for coronavirus. MLB postponed the Marlins-Orioles game, as well as the Yankees-Phillies game that was slated for today, because the Phillies played Miami over the weekend and were potentially exposed. Alden, the league's owners held a meeting today to discuss the outbreak. What came out of that?
Well, Mina, I could tell you the big thing that didn't come out of that, and that is that there were no serious discussions yet about the possibility of canceling this season, which was obviously the question that came up on everybody's minds when they see sort of an outbreak like this take place. What happened with the Marlins in Philadelphia was just a reminder of how fragile this season is. It's a reminder of the fact that Major League Baseball is trying to stage a season in the middle of an escalating public health crisis in a country that obviously hasn't been able to corral the coronavirus. Any little one thing can send this season spiraling. But the one thing, Mina, that you kept hearing when baseball got back and the positive cases were lower than people anticipated, and there started to be a little bit of optimism about baseball's chances of actually making this happen, the one thing you kept being reminded of was that once this season began, players were going to start traveling. They were going to go in the airport. They were going to go through security. They were going to get on planes. They were going to stay in hotels. And the complications of actually making this work were going to be incredibly more difficult than it was when those guys were just in their own home cities. We're already seeing that be really difficult, and it is only the first 4 days of this season.
There's a lot that's jarring about this, including the number of tests, but something that's especially jarring is the revelation that the Marlins players, after learning about the positive tests, decided in a group chat, apparently, to play. They let the Phillies know, and then the Phillies also decided to play, and apparently that was sufficient. Does that surprise you?
I mean, I think what's interesting about this is that, like, the sensibilities of players, or sort of the tenets that players hold on to, don't necessarily apply in situations like this. And what I mean by that is that athletes always operate under this mantra of suck it up, play through injury, play hard, show up every day, do the best that you can do. And when you're talking about a public health crisis, when you're talking about the coronavirus pandemic and a situation where this virus spreads so easily, those sensibilities don't apply here. They've been operating under a similar mindset like this their entire lives. It's what sort of made them great at their sport, which is just suck it up and play and get on with it. And that's why it can't be their decision. Major League Baseball, at the very least, and at most a third party, is going to have to intervene in these matters, because if not, this is going to continue to spiderweb. This season is going to be compromised, and even worse, the pandemic in this country is going to get even worse.
You mentioned that as of now, there are no plans to stop the season. They're just stopping these games. Do you think anything is going to change going forward?
I don't think Major League Baseball has that answer. Before the season began, they released this really extensive operations manual that was more than 100 pages that I read through. That was one of the most difficult things that I've ever done in my life. And nowhere in that operations manual is there any sort of protocol for what it would take to shut a season down in terms of what type of outbreaks, how many players affected, none of that stuff. It's just sort of we'll know it when we see it sort of thing. And I think that, Nina, is where baseball is going to face an ethical question. And this has always been a question about morality, staging the season, given what we're going through as a country, is how much risk are you willing to tolerate? How much are you willing to put other people's health at risk so that you could go on with this season and so that you could reap the financial benefits that come with it? I don't know what it's going to take, but I hope it doesn't take much more than that for Major League Baseball to apply good sense here and not continue on if it continues to put people at risk.
So, Alden, I wanted to talk to you about the Dodgers-Astros game happening on Tuesday, and we're going to in a minute. But first, what have you been hearing from teams in the West about how this outbreak will or won't affect them?
I think there is just general angst because every team knows that it could happen to them. And everything could seem totally normal one day, and then the next day, that they're one of the victims of it just the same way that the Marlins were. A real sobering reality here is that the tests that these players take, the regular tests, if they're asymptomatic, the ones that they're taking every other day, there's a lag time for them to get the results. So what that means, Mina, is that for a 36-hour period, or for at the very least for an entire workday, there are players in that facility that might be asymptomatic, but they're carrying coronavirus and could spread it to others. That's just sort of how fragile this whole thing is, where even given how extensive the protocols are, there's a very real possibility of asymptomatic carriers in these facilities. And that's where the diligence with the social distancing and the mask wearing is so important. But upholding that 24/7, every second of the day, all of them abiding by that is exceedingly difficult. And all of them abiding by that is the only chance that Major League Baseball has of even getting to the finish line here.
All right, let's take a break and then get to what we wanted to talk about today, the Dodgers and the Astros and the showdown between these bitter rivals.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So, Alden, as of now, only part of MLB is on hold. And the Astros and Dodgers, perhaps the most eagerly awaited matchup of the early part of the season, well, it's still happening. Now, everything else aside, this is exciting because of the rather fraught history between these teams, which we will discuss, and also because this is a matchup that wasn't even supposed to happen this year. How did we get here?
Well, Mina, we had a pandemic. And that pandemic forced the season to be only 60 games, and it forced teams to only travel regionally, which meant NL West teams like the Dodgers would travel to face AL West teams like the Astros. They play them four times. And it's awesome. I didn't think I would be able to see these teams play unless they met in the World Series, which, as good as they were, it seemed very unlikely. It should be a lot of fun, but I can't help but feel that it's somewhat diluted by the circumstances. And I think if you listen to the Dodgers players talk about it, you kind of get that sense too.
So I want to ask you more about the Dodgers' deep bench and all those expectations, but I first want to ask you about the Astros, who are, of course, a very good team with a very stacked team, but they're in a tougher spot than they were a few days ago because their ace, Justin Verlander, is injured. Now, there's a question about how injured. He tweeted it was a forearm sprain and he isn't necessarily out for the season. But regardless of how long he's out, Alden, how much will it hurt this team to lose him for any amount of time?
Mina, any starting pitcher injury is incredibly heightened because of how much shorter this season is. That is especially the case when you look at a starting pitcher who is as good and as dominant as Justin Verlander. And it is especially the case when you consider the context of Justin Verlander on that team. There were already questions about the Astros starting rotation going into this season because they lost Gerrit Cole to the Yankees. Now they're going to lose Justin Verlander for an undetermined amount of time. Look, that lineup that the Astros can roll out on a daily basis is special. Their bullpen is still very good. They still look like the most talented team in that division. But consider how much they rode Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole last year. Two guys who either one of them could have won the Cy Young Award. Now all of a sudden they don't have both. They're not going to have Gerrit Cole all year. Who knows how long that they won't have Justin Verlander. It's going to hurt them greatly.
Well, if the Astros were to embrace the supervillain role, as you've laid out, one thinks it would start with this very game, which involves a rivalry that dates back to 2017, as we've discussed, when the Astros defeated the Dodgers in seven games, earning their first World Series win.
Corey Seager, the batter, and a swing and a ground ball for Altuve out on the outfield grass. On to first, and the Houston Astros have claimed that city's first ever World Series championship.
Now, of course, that win has, some believe, a bit of an asterisk next to it. After MLB investigated the team and found that they were using technology to steal signs throughout the season.
And the Astros are being penalized for cheating in the 2017 season. The team's manager and general manager have been fired. The team's been fined $5 million, and it's lost its first and second round draft selections for the next two seasons.
Alden, looking back, do you think it's feasible or even likely that LA would have won that series if Houston hadn't cheated?
I'm not saying they definitely would have, but if you look at that series, I'm sure every single player on that 2017 Dodgers team has hyper-examined every single part of those seven games. There were so many things within that series that could have just tipped the balance of the scales in any direction. And that's why I think when you heard the Dodgers talk about this during spring training, you could just sort of feel their anger.
It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. I think that, this could be a conversation I can go on for quite some time.
I've never heard other players trash on their colleagues the way that the Dodgers did during spring training.
I thought the apologies were whatever. These guys were cheating for 3 years.
It didn't surprise me. You know, it sounded like maybe they were a little bit more remorseful after the scripted press conference, I guess, or whatever they did with Altuve and Bregman. But I mean, it wasn't surprising. You know, they didn't get punished, so why would they end up feeling like they showed a lot of remorse in a forced statement? You know,
but I think it's obvious why the Dodgers feel like the Astros literally stole something from them. They feel like they took money out of their pockets and food off their table, so to speak, because they cheated to get an advantage And you heard it most strongly out of somebody like Cody Bellinger, who said flat out that Jose Altuve stole an MVP from Aaron Judge.
You know, I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
I mean, even Clayton Kershaw, who never says anything, he said something about it.
You know, some of those guys seemed remorseful. Some of those guys said the right things, gave a good apology, and that's great. I'll move on with that. And then you get the owner up there saying some dumb stuff, and it's like, what? You know, it's like, what's going on? You know, it's just, how can you be that ignorant to the situation? So,
and if you look at just Clayton Kershaw only, the narrative that people paint about Clayton Kershaw not being a big game pitcher is mostly drawn from that game five of the 2017 World Series. Clayton Kershaw said it himself that he wishes that he knew how many pitches the Astros knew was what was coming that night, but he can't, so he's going to try his best to move on from it. But that one night, if he doesn't give up those two leads, think about just how different his career is.
Do you think we're going to see any tensions at all flare up during the game?
Well, I could tell you this. We asked Ross Stripling that in spring training, and he sort of thought about it for a little while, and he said that, you know what? He would probably consider throwing at them if you were pitching against them this year. Now, I have to say that those were under different circumstances. When it didn't seem like the Dodgers were going to face the Astros this year, maybe that has changed over the last few months. But Alex Wood actually made the point, and he's absolutely right about this, that if you're a pitcher and you throw at one of the Astros hitters, you might draw a suspension, which means that you would get more of a punishment yourself than any of those Astros players did for illegally stealing signs for at least two seasons. And I thought that brought the point home.
If it was a normal season, they would be punished, sort of, morally, reputationally, by the fans. There would be booing and signs and banging on trash cans at every field. But there are no fans, and I don't think the cardboard ones have the ability or initiative to boo. So do you think that has made things easier for Houston in some way?
Absolutely. I think the Astros have probably been the biggest beneficiaries of this season being as weird as it is. And it's because, I mean, look, obviously, you know, there are bigger things going on in the world in general. And so sports, baseball specifically, is just not on the forefront of a lot of people's minds right now. But I think if you listen to how the Dodgers have answered questions recently about facing the Astros, and they were so strong against them as recently as spring training, but no matter if they win five World Series in a row, nothing that they do is going to erase the pain that they felt from not winning that series. Nothing is going to replace the fact that they felt like they should have won that series.
Well, they'll never get the 2017 World Series back. But Alden, they've got a good shot at this one. So after the break, let's talk about how good these Dodgers are and how strong their chances are of winning the whole thing.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Alden, let's talk about these Dodgers. 538 has them as the clear favorites to win the NL West. Many people, including our Jeff Passan, have picked them to win the World Series. How dominant are they, and why are they so dominant?
They're dominant because they just seem to never run out of really good players. I don't think it was ever more evident than on opening day, when 4 hours before the first pitch of the season, Clayton Kershaw has to go on the injured list. And then all of a sudden, the Dodgers just replace him with a guy who was optioned a few days earlier, who's 22 years old and throws 100 mile per hour sinking fastballs. And I'm sure a lot of people looked at that and thought, this is just not fair. And I think that is emblematic of who the Dodgers are. They are a team that has all the resources and the revenue streams to do whatever they want. And then they also balance that with being one of the smartest, most well-run organizations in baseball. It isn't any more evident than the fact that Mookie Betts goes to LA. He has no roots in LA. He has spent a combined 6 weeks with his new Dodgers teammates. And he decides, you know what? I don't need to be a free agent. I don't need to play the season out. I'm never going to be out in the open market. That's okay. I'm good here. Give me my value, and I'm just going to stay here. And guess what, Mina? Nobody batted an eye about it. That's how good the Dodgers are.
Why do you think Betts signed the deal? I mean, besides the fact that it's, you know, over $360 million. The thinking was he was going to be a free agent next year, right? And he wanted to set a new standard for other players. And this was reportedly why Boston let him walk in the first place. But then, as you said, he comes to this team that he's never even played for, and he decides to stick around for the long term.
Yeah, I think some people might disagree with me on this, but I feel like even given the circumstances of this year where you have a shorter season and you're not going to have fans in games and Major League Baseball owners are staring at this very uncertain financial future, I felt all along that a transcendent star like Mookie Betts was going to get his money regardless. When you're at Dodger spring training, you sort of get an up-close look at just the talent pipeline throughout that system. And you see so many young pitchers, so many young hitters who look like they're going to be stars. And it just makes you think that this is sort of an unending contention window at just is going to be spitting out these great players, where a guy like Mookie Betts comes here and he doesn't feel like he wants to play anywhere else.
People who do not root for the Dodgers are at home right now puking, listening to you describe this baseball utopia that's somehow competing in the long term, but or in the short term, but building for the long term and making players want to stay. So let me ask you this. What is their weakness if there has to be one this season?
Small sample sizes. 60 games. Over a 162-game season, talent usually wins out. Depth usually wins out. I think the best example of that was maybe in 2018, where the Dodgers were coming off that proverbial hangover from that loss to the Astros in the prior World Series. They got off to an incredibly slow start. But because the season was so long, they were able to catch up, and their talent just caught up to the rest of the league, and they made it back to the World Series. This year, it's 60 games. You could be a team like the Dodgers who coast by everybody during the regular season. And then at the end of the day, your season is going to come down to 1 3-game series. Any baseball team could lose 2 of 3 games. Any baseball team could lose 3 of 5 or 4 of 7. And that's the Dodgers' biggest weakness.
So one last question, Alden. This series is in Houston, so you won't be there. But the Astros are going to come to Los Angeles in September to play in Dodger Stadium. Unfortunately, as we've discussed, there will not be rowdy fans, but there will be cardboard cutouts, including cardboard cutouts for fan dogs. I'm thinking about submitting one of Lenny, although that would be sort of a betrayal to the Mariners. In any case, I imagine you will be there. What is it like right now at Dodger Stadium?
It's eerie, Mina. I'm so used to that place being packed to the gills, and during the playoffs, during heated moments, I remember being in the press box and it'll start shaking because you remember Dodger Stadium is quite old. And it just feels weird. They put in the piped in noise, and you know, when I watch it on TV, it seems fine, but when you're there in person, it's really hard to just distinguish it. You're sitting sort of just below the press box, and you're staring down at the field, but you're also looking at the back of about 5,000 cardboard cutouts. And then you look at the outfield wall, and it's just made up of a bunch of huge banners just so that they could get some advertising revenue out of this. And I can't imagine what that Astros series would have been like at Dodger Stadium had fans been allowed. When all of this went down, there was even a huge fan group of Dodger fans that were planning this huge expedition to go down to Angel Stadium just to boo the Astros because their first road series was going to be 30 miles south in Orange County. If they had gone to Dodger Stadium, it would have been incredible. And it would have been unlike probably anything that I would have ever experienced. Now, the only thing I could hope for is that maybe Dodger Stadium, people who run this stuff can maybe pipe in some booze from time to time.
I was going to say, they're piping in crowd noise and throwing a few cans being banged on. No one's going to object, right?
That'll really sort of stretch the creativity of the Dodgers, and I really hope that they don't disappoint.
If they did that, people would go absolutely
nuts. They have
nuts.
To do that.
And people
right?
would love it.
The Dodgers have Dieter Ruhl, and he's the best. Dieter Ruhl, the organist. And I'm sure he's going to come up with something. This guy's like the man.
Thanks so much, Alden.
Thank you, Mina.
I'm Mina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.